If you appreciate the outdoors the way we do, sit back and listen for the next half hour as we go exploring together. We'll join nationally and locally known outdoorsmen who will pass on the knowledge and skills which will help you enjoy your recreational interest more. At the same time, we'll see how you can use your favorite pastime to glorify our Creator, Lord, and Savior. Now here's the host of God's Great Outdoors, Jerry Calouette.
All right, Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors. We're here in Milford, PA. Just an opportunity to be able to speak at a game dinner. I believe this is the fourth year that Milford Bible Church has done this event and had an opportunity to be one of the two speakers, the keynote speakers. I went on first, and my good old friend, sorry about that, Dick Rebar from Cottersport, PA, actually had the chance to speak at Dick's church there in Cottersport, PA at one time. But Dick and I got to really know each other through the Trophies of Grace Whitetail Deer Hunts in Tar Hollow. Dick Rebar, welcome back to God's Great Outdoors.
Good to be here. It's good to be anywhere at my age.
Well, that was what you were telling me, Dick. You're on getting ready to have your knees replaced again. This is the fourth time that you've had to have a knee replaced. You wear those things out, apparently.
About every 12 years. Oh, I'm a hunting and fishing guide, outdoor photographer. I put on a lot of miles. That's my joy in life.
Well, Dick, you've got a few seasons under your belt. You're probably... wear a few young men out even.
I've been told that. It's my privilege, you know. I'll do it as long as I can. It's better to wear out than rust out, they say.
Well, that's probably true. You know, the last time you were on the program, we talked about something that I think we got a lot of response from the interview. You were a school teacher for years. We probably ought to go back to the fact that when you were a kid, you were a lousy student. And probably the last thing in the world that you ever thought that you were going to wind up doing is being a teacher. Maybe you could walk us back through some of that growing up, how you got involved in the outdoors. You're here in Pennsylvania guiding folks when they draw those very, very fortunate elk tags. And I know you, as you said, you guide deer hunters. You've guided folks on the rivers fishing for rainbow with a fly rod and brown trout and that kind of thing. But let's go back to when you were a kid and getting started in the outdoors.
Okay, it started when I was about 4 years old. My dad took me fishing, and when I was about five, I kicked the brush when we went on bunny hunts. And we lived at the edge of the woods, and I was pretty shy, so I avoided people, but the animals were my friends, and I found my niche there. I hated school. I'm not recommending other people do this, but I take 20 to 30 days off of school each year and hunt, fish, and trap. My family was used everything that we brought home. I kept looking for larger and larger challenges. Never took the textbook home until I was in grade 11. I got the diploma in my hand. I said, I'll never step inside this school again. And after 2 years of working some very dangerous jobs in a cement plant, I said to my dad, I said, Dad, there's got to be more in life than his paycheck. And I want to help people out. So he said, here's $60, is all I have. So I started night school, and 5 years later, I was fortunate enough to get a degree the hard way, having to make up for all those luster years in high school, burning the midnight oil at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. But I made it, and then, as Lord would have it, when I was 10 years old, my dad showed me a mountain vista up in Emporium, Cameron County, where he had friends he hunted and fished. And we camped, and I said, Dad, why would you want to live anywhere else? And he said, more power to you. Believe it or not, just before school started, I got a call from Cottersport Junior Senior High School, which is 15 air miles from that exact vista. And there I taught special education for 30 years, mostly boys. Most of them didn't have a father or had a pretty rough home life. And I never had a son, so I took him under my wing, and we did hunting, fishing, archery, skiing. And now, even 20, 30 years later, they'll come drop by or phone me. The one fellow phoned me last year from Alberta, Canada, on my birthday. He said, I wouldn't forget your birthday. It's really worth it when you have feedback like that.
Dick, that's pretty incredible, and you certainly can praise God for the fact that you had an impact in the lives of many, many young men and gals there as you were a teacher in Cottersport, Pennsylvania. Being a guide on the rivers, I'm sure most of the time you're letting those brown trout go, but every now and then, I bet you've put one on the fire and they smell so good. Love to have a trout with some butter and lemon and just get your mouth a-water, and that's reminding me that my wife Cindy is standing by to share today's recipe. Folks, do send in your recipes, how you prepare the wild fish, game, or plants that you're harvesting. Let us know who it is you're spending the time in the outdoors with, who you're doing that outdoor activity out there, and whether it maybe you're a flyer fisherman or enjoy taking up into the hills and the Rockies with a bow and arrow after elk. And remember, you'll get copies of Steve Chapman's devotionals, either Real Time with Jesus for the Fisherman, that's REEL, or On a Deer Hunt with God for those of you who like to go out in the field. We'll be right back after Cindy shares this.
Our friend Daryl Christensen is recognized as one of the country's top fishing pros. As a leading contender on the professional walleye trail, Daryl doesn't limit himself to fishing only for walleye. Another fish this Wisconsin native likes to tackle is northern pike. And with a stringer full of these sharp-toothed predators, Daryl returns home knowing his wife, Sherry, will be serving pike for months to come. Here's a recipe that you can use to preserve northern pike or any other fish you've caught a large quantity of. Remember to duplicate this recipe for each separate pint of fish. In clean pint jars, mix together and add 1 scant teaspoon of salt, 1 tablespoon of catsup, 2 tablespoons of cooking oil, and 1 tablespoon of vinegar. Now add tidbits of fresh northern pike chunks and work down into jar with a knife to remove all trapped air. Seal the jars with lids and rings and cook in pressure cooker at 10 pounds of pressure for 80 minutes. Be sure to use correct amount of water in your cooker and cool slowly. This tastes just like salmon. Remember, God's Word says in Genesis 9:3, "Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything."
We're back, Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors, again with Dick Rebar. And we're here in Milford, Pennsylvania. Pastor Neil Wintermute was one of those individuals that attended our first conference that we did at Cedarville University. That's a Trail to Adventure pastor and lay leader conference. Wound up helping the Baptist church there where he was interning right in Cedarville, put on their first game dinner. So he was called to be a pastor here. In Milford, PA, they started doing the same thing. I think they sold out of tickets, and here we are. Dick, you're going to be speaking a little while. I've already shared, but we want to get back to that story of you taking these young men under your wings. I know there was something about an attic and turning it into an archery range, and one of those young men becoming a mechanic. His life was probably going in a tailspin, and you turned it all the way around. Let's get back to that story, if you would.
Jerry, it just come to my mind that the average age of a hunter in Pennsylvania now is 42. Now, this is sad. The young people are just going other directions. And if we lose this generation, who's going to take care of the conservation problems and the goals that we have in this state? So it's a very serious situation. Back in the old days, I call them, we did have an attic that was unfinished. Those long, snowy winters in Potter County. I had a little archery shop in the basement, and any boy that wanted to, he would try a bow out, and I would give it equipment wholesale, and we'd shoot up in the attic. And then the winter got extra pizza my wife was making downstairs, and the boys really went for that. And we got tired of shooting targets. We'd cut out the animals out of the outdoor magazines, and we'd go on a safari, seeing the animals we could pile up. And some of these boys really got proficient, killed several bucks later, real bucks, with their archery equipment, became pretty proficient. I had one Indian boy, part Indian, about 6'4", slouched back and down on his seat in the corner, would never smile, didn't know how to read at age 15. And finally, one day I mentioned that bow season's right around the corner and I'm going bow hunting. And for the first time in weeks, I seen his eyes light up, and he'd mumbled that, "Boy, I'd like to go bow hunting." And I said, "Don't you have a bow, Robert?" And he said, "No." So I dug a cheap fiberglass one up. I said, "You could use my arrows, just pay me for the ones you break." And he was delighted. We went up to archery range, and for the first time he smiled. And he told me later that to smile as an Indian is a sign of weakness. So he wouldn't do that. But as we got more and more into archery, he smiled more and more. And then the one year, it was the very last day of archery, my wife wanted to go shopping. We only had one vehicle. I said, "We've got to take Robert out for the last evening of bow hunting." And as I looked at my watch, I said, "Well, Robert, this is about the season." He said, There he is. Actually, it was between 2 and 4 minutes left of the Pennsylvania bow season. He shot, hit the deer. I thought he had a heart attack. He grabbed his chest. He said, I hit him. He was actually a good shot on animals, but not on paper. And long story short, we found the animal. It seemed to turn this boy around. He learned to read. He went to a trade school. He was first in his class of 60-some boys learning mechanics. Got a diploma that had 27 different mechanical areas that he was able to function in. I still see him today and I count him as a friend. So that was one of our success stories.
Well, Dick, that we just praise the Lord for that. Reminds me of what's going on with the Genesis bow in the schools, how lives are being turned around there even today. And you're one of those individuals that maybe kind of got things started in that direction, or at least you could say modeled what's being done today. Very exciting. We're going to find out a little bit more about Pennsylvania, your guiding, wearing out artificial knees left and right. But we need to take another break, and we'll be back right after this.
Since July 6, 1996, God's Great Outdoors Radio and Ministry has been on the air to help listeners win others to the Creator God, Jesus Christ. The program is made possible because of the financial help of our listeners, and for this help we are truly blessed. Additional underwriting support is by Matthews Archery and the new V3 compound bow, plus Mission Archery with a revolutionary technology and design that provides a maximum crossbow experience. Also, Three Rivers Archery, supplying what one needs to make their own bows and arrows, and Hunter Safety System, saving lives is what we do. Also, Phil Havens Technology, LLC, a website designer and maintenance service provider.
Christian Bowhunters of America, exalting Jesus Christ as Creator, Lord, and Savior, locally, nationally, and internationally. For membership information and to see how you can get involved, go to their website at christianbowhunters.org or call toll-free at 877-912-5724. That's 877-912-5724.
What if there was a recreational ministry that targeted all students, regardless of age or physical ability? Well, there is. Center Shot Ministries is an archery program that shares the love of Christ while teaching the fundamentals of target archery. This is a proven and successful archery instruction that can even be done inside your church. Center Shot engages the students for Christ and develops their skills in archery. Check out their website at centershotministries.org or call 920-634-5978.
We're back, Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors. Again, Milford, Pennsylvania, at their game dinner, Milford Bible Church. I've already shared, Dick Rebar, you're going to be sharing in a couple hours, but they put elk here in the state years back. Herd kind of went up, went back down, and then came to the point where they're hunting them now. And you took one of the guys, maybe the very first hunter to be able to harvest out, so maybe you could share a little bit about that.
The hunt started in 2001, the first legalized elk hunt in Pennsylvania since 1931, and I was privileged to guide a bull hunter in 2001, harvested a beautiful 7x6. Our elk are a little larger than the western elk because of the food and the habitat, and we've had hunts every year since 2001 by limited drawing, 20 to 30,000 applications, drawn 30 to 100 permits are drawn. Success ratio is pretty high, because a lot of the people will use local guides who charge very minimal fees but are very attuned to the elk and practically live with them for weeks beforehand. And it's the way to go if you draw a permit, if you want a real trophy and not just a chance to perhaps fill a tag. Every year we get one or two in the Boone and Crockett. This year I teamed up with Elk County Outfitters. As a group of guides, we had 4 bull tags and 1 cow tag. We filled them all the first day. One huge 8x8 made Boone and Crockett over 400 points. The smallest one was a 5x6, all trophy bulls from the 7 to 800 and some pound range. And it's not a pig in a poke. There's a lot of wilderness areas in the north central Pennsylvania where the elk are located. And there's about 800 to 900 now in a free roaming herd in about 6 different counties, with Elk, Cameron, and Potter County being the epicenter of the elk herd.
Now, you're talking about it being pretty rugged. You're up and down those hills at your age, and I'll leave it to you whether you not want to mention it or not, but talking about wearing out, I think your son-in-law said you need to have a grease cert put in your artificial knees. Wearing out are you going for a record of the number of of knees that are artificially placed into your body that can be worn out? What is the record, by the way? You might even hold it already.
I don't know about that, but I just thank God they're available, or else I'd be a cripple today. Once the knee is put in after intense rehabilitation, because I know what I want to do with the knee, 4 to 6 weeks at least, they last about 12, 13 years. And I mountain bike, I cross-country ski, hike 8, 9 hours up and down the mountains without pain. And the newest knees out, the one I'm getting next, are maintainables. And what a maintainable knee is just with a horizontal cut, they can pull the middle center out of the plastic between the metal, insert the new one, and it's like a new recap, and you're ready to go for another 12, 15 years.
Well, that's pretty incredible, Dick. And if I'm not mistaken, your dad was one of the original guys that came across on the Mayflower. So that gives folks a little idea of really how old you are. Maybe in the last moments that we have, you could share a little bit about your opportunities in the midst of sharing with all these young people, being able to present the Creator in all of the creation you were spending time with them in, because that was and still is very important in your life, letting folks know who your Lord and Savior is.
It's number one, and it's become even more strong the older I get. It's incredible as I look back over my life how He has led and protected me with not a little help from myself. Without Him, I'd be lost. I have an eternity in heaven to look forward to, and the more people I can take with me, the better. And because I seem to have a niche and a feel for outdoorsmen, they're the ones that I'm really speaking to lately. And I've gone on the road now several times each winter and showing my videos and my slides and giving my testimony and invitation. And I just pray, God, that more fellows would see the Creator behind the creation. Because the more I study and the more I travel, learning more and more about creation, the more I see a superior design, a divine design that's above what man can do. And I use an example in closing. With the electron microscope in college, we put a brand new stainless steel razor blade beneath the lens, and it looked like a hacksaw blade. We took a sliver of bark and a sample for the inside of our cheek, and at 10,000 PAR, it looked like a well-bricked wall, perfectly laid, cell after cell after cell. There is no accidents. There is no big bang. I studied evolution, Darwin's theory, intensely. And I'm telling you here tonight, it would take a lot more faith to believe in that than in Jesus Christ and that God was our Creator.
Amen, Dick. More chance that the car that you drove here happened by accident over hundreds of millions of years than just your eyeball and everything that intricately is tied in to the workings and interpretations of the eyeball itself. Appreciate your sharing about our Creator, and also letting folks have a glimpse of what you were doing in years past and how you were able to have an impact in changing lives, all tied to archery and things in the outdoors. And always good to see you and have you again here on God's Great Outdoors, Dick.
Thank you, Jerry. My privilege.
It was an exciting time to be able to share the platform at that game dinner in Pennsylvania with Dick Rebar. And we saw over 20 individuals pray to receive Christ for the first time, and twice that many with rededications. Friends, are you considering the opportunity that your church might have to be able to do some kind of sportsman's supper to see individuals come into your church that won't come in for any other reason, come under the hearing of the word and come to Christ? Well, I hope you're prayerfully considering it. And even as you heard about Dick and the program that he had developed that allowed him to build relationships with young people and eventually saw them not only turn their lives around in a worldly perspective, but was able to share Jesus Christ with them as well. You know, our DVD teaching series looks at both these types of ministry opportunities and a whole lot more. You might consider going onto our website and reviewing the Trail to Adventure 2 DVD 4-hour set so you can do a conference right there where you're at and also begin to see individuals who love God's creation come into some kind of an outdoor theme adventure at your church and come to Christ. What do you think? Why not check out the Trail to Adventure Pastor and Lay Leader DVD teaching series on our website at ggoutdoors.org. All right, now don't go off. We've got more to come.
Here's a My Biggest Hunting Blunder from God's Great Outdoors. Dick Rebar is both a fishing guide and a fly fishing instructor. Dick also loves to go afield hunting. Now, while his preference is the bow and arrow, this angling expert will gladly pursue big game with a firearm, too, and this is where one of his mistakes occurred. Dick and some friends were hunting big whitetail bucks in Michigan's Cranberry Swamps. The seasoned woodsman was toting a new stainless steel Winchester 30-06 that he had swapped for his old hunting rifle. Dick's thoughts when he acquired this rifle were that this is the rifle for anything I'll ever need to hunt for again, the rifle for the rest of my life. Now, the group was hunting way back in the swamps, and Dick was carrying a heavy pack filled with extra clothing as Upper Michigan gets a little cold in late November. The method for hunting was to set and wait as the swamps are really too thick to try and stalk. One evening, after many days of packing back in to hunt, Dick was back on his way out and was very tired. The heavy pack kept slipping and required stopping to readjust the load. Well, when he reached the truck, he started unloading to put his gear in the pickup, and no rifle. Now, Dick had carried that rifle by the shoulder strap and used a walking stick to help him with the swamp's rough footing. Dick said out loud, "This is a little weird. Where's my rifle?" Thinking of all the places he had stopped in the last several miles, he and one of his buddies turned around with two flashlights and headed back into the Cranberry Swamps as the snow began to fall again. Now, when others from their group arrived, they assumed they were lost. Seeing their lights in the distance, they started firing off shots to help orient them. Coming out and discussing the matter, they all agreed to call it a day, so they all went to camp. That night, as Dick prayed about it, he remembered that he had come to an island in the swamp just off the main trail and readjusted his pack. He had laid the rifle against a tree. Dick could hardly wait till daylight. The next day he went in about 2 miles to the island, and there was the rifle leaning against the evergreen tree, all frosty from the night's cold air. Dick Rebar may have lost his rifle for a time, but Dick will lose no time worrying about life after death, as he has eternity in his grasp for keeps. You can be sure of the life hereafter, too. To receive a free booklet by Charlie Alzheimer, entitled The Ultimate Hunt, get a hold of us here at God's Great Outdoors by mail, phone, or even email, and we'll be glad to send you a copy. While we're at it, we'll also toss in a copy of The Greatest Hunt of All by Dwight Shue.
Did you enjoy that story? Do you know that you can get that story and 63 others in the book Hunting Blunders and the One That Got Away? Something that you can use yourself as a devotional, or you can get copies to give to those that God has placed on your heart that you know need to have a personal relationship with the Creator in the creation they love to enjoy. You can order copies through our web store at ggoutdoors.org, or you can call us toll-free at 1-877-TALK-GGO. This book can make a difference in someone's life. Why don't you contact us and get a copy today?
From time to time, we get contacts asking if it is okay to fish, hunt, or even eat meat. Well, we've taken scripture verses that deal with this subject and put them on a handy little bookmark to place in your Bible. To get your free copy of Should Man Hunt? What Does the Bible Say? Contact us right away. The bookmark can help share scripture sportsmen want to hear. This then opens the door for your telling of their need for the Creator Jesus Christ in their lives. Call 1-877-TALK-GGO.
Why don't you prayerfully consider joining us at one of the Fishers of Men retreats in Ontario, Canada. These are an hour drive above International Falls, Minnesota. You park your cars, hop onto float planes, and fly into Rushing Wind Retreat Center. A very comfortable setting, gourmet meals, hot showers, guest speakers, an opportunity for you to get out onto the water, enjoying fishing with friends and relatives who you wind up bringing and need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. These five-day events with everything included, and this is also the flight in and out, are priced a third of what you normally would pay for these kinds of fishing adventures. Contact Rushing Wind at area code 715-683-2530 and consider who it is that you may wind up bringing, having the time of your life, building memories, and seeing them come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, as you're using God's creation to change lives for eternity.
Well, we hope you enjoyed the program today, and we're thankful to our guest and to you for listening into our broadcast. Do you feel moved to speak to someone right now about your relationship with the Creator of the universe? God sent His Son Jesus so you can make a life-changing decision by inviting Him into your heart. If you want to talk to someone about beginning a personal relationship with Jesus Christ anytime, call 1-888-NEED-HIM. Once again, that's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Now, there's no better way to benefit from God's great outdoors.